I've been worried all week about how to gloss Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, and I've just about come up dry, I'm afraid. I have just a couple very small suggestions. First, there are two versions of the Beatitudes, and I strongly recommend, and that's what I was going to do originally, to compare Matthew's version of the Beatitudes with Luke's, which is in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I strongly recommend that you read that because they're starkly different. And scholars believe that Luke's is probably the more original, closer to the original form of Jesus' speech. So if you have, well, whether you have it or not, take some time today, take 10 minutes to look at the Lucan version, and I will leave it to my devices and your devices to work out the differences between the two. What Matthew is doing here, of course, this is the so-called Sermon on the Mount, is casting Jesus as the new Moses. So the fact that all this new stuff, and it's really not new because all this is in Judaism for thousands of years. There's nothing new here in this teaching. But Matthew wants us to make Jesus look like a new Moses, so you get this seemingly new stuff from the mountain. What's he doing here? These are not a list of disparate things. Well, today I'm going to be meek, and tomorrow I'm going to mourn, and the next day I'm going to be a peacemaker. No, he's trying to describe a way of being in the world. In this world. And this is what is so terrifying about this text. You know? Remember, I say, well, I'll save my soul and sit by and, you know, count my spiritual coupons until I pass on to the great beyond, and then everything will be all right. No, no, it doesn't work that way. We are called in this world to try to embody this way of living. Poverty of spirit. What does that mean? A sense of the neediness of our own lives, and above all, the need for what's true and what's good and what's beautiful. And so on for the whole rest of all these things. And it's important, I think, to emphasize the fact that he is not talking about some sweet hereafter. He's talking about life in our world, often enough a fairly nasty place. And to do it here. And this gives the lie, I think, to a lot of what has developed in the church, I believe, the clericalism that I talked about a week or so ago. Where we construe the Christian life as a life of obedience to Big Daddy. It's not that. It's being attentive to this word and this style of living and the Pope and the rules and the institution and the buildings and the vestments and the structure and all the rest are subordinate to this. It sounds self-evident, but it's not, at least in my experience, it's not. Because when I think of the Holy Roman Church, I don't think of being poor in spirit or a peacemaker or meek. So this is the way, this is the criterion by which everything in the church is to be judged. Does it conduce to this form of life? That's critical. It's critical. I mean, the whole business of feminism in the church, which I talked about a few weeks ago, is also in play here. Where we can't talk about the ordination of women. We can't discuss all kinds of things because they're out of bounds. Well, they're not out of bounds, really. And finally, the most unpleasant part of this thing is its costliness. Why don't we behave this way? Because inevitably it's going to bring us pain. It's going to be so alien to the way the world goes. Necessarily, we will be persecuted were we to behave this way. see again here too, this is an issue of have we so domesticated, diluted the figure of Jesus as to make him acceptable, you know, socially appropriate? He's not socially appropriate and never was socially appropriate. And that's why he got killed. So to see that as the cost of doing this. And the final suggestion. Yesterday I had a funeral mass at Brescia, and the reading was all about faith, and it struck me again that faith is a struggle. Faith is hard. Real faith is very difficult. To believe that the kingdom of God is what's real and what is to come. To believe that the ultimate reality in our universe is benign is very hard to do. Very hard to do. And I'm afraid we cushion ourselves in a great variety of ways in order to avoid that awareness. So, a suggestion. How do we get to real faith? How do we deepen our own faith? That great line that I've used more time than I can call, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. One of the Gospels. I think one way of trying to do it is to try to behave this way and see what happens. See if the reality of God does not somehow emerge. See if our rootage in God does not become clearer and faith become more real.